You know, I didn't feel this patient really responded very, very well. Honestly, I attributed it to she was never really positive in a lot of things we did, Neil. She took the treatment, but she will come. And I know she was going through a difficult time, of course, because of her mother. But, you know, talk about positive attitude. Maybe this is something we can, Dr. Perro can discuss. You know, I have seen patients with the same disease, the same stage, the same treatment, the same doctor, the same nurses, and I can leave the room of one, and I tell my staff, she's not going to do well, and then I go see the other patient and leave the room, and I tell them, she's going to do great.
Wow.
And based on no real objective data. And honestly and truly, it is more likely that my prediction is correct than not.
Do you think that's their pre-morbid personality that you're reading? Or do you think maybe it's just something you're sensing about how sick they are?
Pre-morbid personality. Wow, good term. You know, maybe. Honestly, I never thought about it this way.
I mean, you think they were that way their whole life?
Yes, yes, exactly. I believe 100%. I really don't think cancer changes people a lot. Those who are nice, they are going to be nice even if they die tomorrow. And those who are not nice, they are not nice. Now, let me put a disclaimer here. There are a lot of not nice people who actually do very, very well. And it's amazing. And you know, I'm very verbal with these patients, actually. I give them stories how they can be positive. And we have very good psychologists and psychiatrists. We try to not change who they are, but change how they react to things. And I mean, I talk to them bluntly. It's like, what is wrong with you? It's like, you are doing well. You are in remission. You know, you want me to tell you about my 22-year-old whom I just saw from brain tumor? I mean, I don't like to compare people to each other, but I'm trying to put a point. And actually, sometimes you can have an impact. You really can have an impact. Because when we treat cancer, Neil, we're not trying to make people live longer. I mean, these patients, once they recur, they really are incurable. We want them to live life because my job is not to give chemo and have somebody live 2 years. My job is to help people have goals. Like you are asking me, you know, what are the goals? There are goals, and we set goals. Maybe not the first visit or the second visit. Maybe not the first line of treatment. But after the first line, you start knowing a lot of them about these patients because you want them to set goals. And that's really an important part of our job. Our nurses are very, very good in that. If I'm treating somebody, Neil, and every 3 weeks, you know, they are unhappy. I mean, I feel I'm not doing my job. I really do. I need to know that I'm doing it for a good reason and not just, you know, giving chemotherapy to people. Because many of them have some side effects. And many of them, you adjust the dose and you have to convince yourself it's worth it. It has nothing to do with cost. Now, that's another, you know, thing that we need to decide and discuss on a society basis. But it's like, I tell them, are you living? Oh, I don't know. What are you doing? Then why are you taking chemo? It's like, what do you mean, why am I taking chemo? I said, yeah, why are you taking chemo? Because you give it to me. I said, no. Let's go back. Let's go back to the drawing board. And, you know, every now and then we go over this. And it really helps them actually verbalize goals. And it really works on a lot of people. And it's, like you said, mindful meditation. You make people go back into their brains and think about it. For themselves, by the way, it has nothing to do with their daughter or getting married or anniversary, because I really believe if that person don't have a good grip on why they are doing it, they cannot really translate that into their spouse or their children. I don't know if I'm making myself clear here, but you need to know why you are doing this so that you can enjoy the fruits of your work. Because let me tell you, these people go through a tough time taking chemotherapy.
Yeah, you know, when you were talking about that, it made me think about the studies that have been done of the early use of palliative care that seemed to show a survival advantage. And, you know, people were like, well, why did it show a survival advantage? They started getting palliative care. They weren't even symptomatic at that point. So it was more, you know, talking to people. And talking to some of the people that have been involved with that research, I started to think that maybe the reason those people were living, you know, it was just a few months longer, but was maybe they wanted to. Maybe they got the support, the kind of support you're talking about, that got them more motivated to get through chemo.
Oh, no question in my mind. I am absolutely not surprised at the results of that study from Mass General published in the New England. On the contrary, I mean, I'm glad to see the data to prove it. I have no doubt in my mind that is so important to us. We in the oncology community, and I know most of my colleagues share this with me, the easiest part of our job is giving chemo. I mean, seriously, and I really mean it. I mean, it's very easy, you know, carboplatin, paclitaxel, but it's how you get people to not just tolerate it physically, we are also becoming very good at that, but how you live despite cancer, how you live with it as a disease now. You know, it's not chronic like hypertension, diabetes, because people can live decades, but sort of mini chronic disease that they are not going to die tomorrow or next month. And this is for them to increase their chances of responding by working with us, having this different attitude. And it helps them, you know, help them sleep better, not be in pain, take trips. I almost always tell people, okay, you have 10 cycles of chemo. We are going to give 5. After 5, what are you going to do? It's like, what? I'm going to receive cycle 6. I said, no. No. Yes, I know there is cycle 6, but is there something you want to do that I can give you a week or two? Yeah, sure, it's not complete drug holiday, but you know, it's palliative chemotherapy. I wouldn't give it after cycle 1, but at one point, you need to have these people start planning things. And it's amazing how much these patients will come back to you. Oh my God, I talked to my family and we're going to go on this cruise and we're going to do this. And it can be something, you know, just something simple, going to the beach. Then they come back so energized with positive outlook that number 6 to through number 10 will work better even.